celebrate our last session is next week, because in the last Sunday of February, I have to go out of town for a wedding, so we'll complete this, and we'll just about finish that essay here. By the way, our last session is next week, because in the last Sunday of February, I have to go out of town for a wedding, so we'll complete this, and we'll just about finish that essay here. I'll sort of summarize very briefly and sort of go ahead and the basic introduction that the author here makes about the Gaelic problem. Those that you know, the first part, the first essay that we studied dealt with mnemonas, veracity of either documents or claims to Jewishness, whether there's a rogue or not. Remember all the different concepts that we were discussing earlier. In this essay, he deals with people who are vada and not Jewish. Either they are spouses of Jews who are not Jewish, or they are children of mixed marriages where the mother is not Jewish, and therefore halachically they are not Jewish. Now the only answer is to convert. And he started out by showing that there are two approaches to the problem. Either you are, like they call this in constitution law, the strict interpreters of the constitution. You go through the whole thing. If whoever qualifies, get it settled, and not, forget about it. But then he presented another picture, there's another theory, namely that there is a serious threat to the whole fiber of the society, that there are a large amount of people who come in that way. There are secular Jews, secular organizations, who, as he puts it, stir the pot, and they will accept these people, and they will be nitmonim, they will be absorbed and covered up by these groups. And then you'll have real societal problems. You'll divide up the Jewish community in two, authentic and unauthentic Jews, and you'll have very, very serious problems. He obviously advocates that you take a more lenient view and try to find halachic remedies for this problem by converting as much as possible. Then he starts out by going to biblical background. He goes to the time of Ezra Nehemiah that had the problem. Now, Ezra Nehemiah would indicate that we should be tough, because what Ezra Nehemiah did is they said you must divorce, and they broke up the family. And the question is, they had an answer, it could be Magai, obviously they didn't do it, okay? So, partially we learned, partially we didn't, but since there's only one more testament, I want to sort of summarize what he says in terms of Ezra Nehemiah. There were scenes, he argued, I mean it's a little bit hypothetical, but he argues there were two views on the Ezra time. One of them viewed it as like the May of Shlomo, that this is an age of rebirth of the Jewish people. And just like in Moshe HaMashiach and May Shlomo, we were not supposed to accept Gerim because their authenticity is questionable. Since, in other words, we can only accept Gerim when we're not so well off. When we're well off and it pays to be Jewish, then there is an automatic question on the whole Gerim's desire, and therefore we stay away from Gerim altogether. And the other view was punkt verkehr, that we were in a very lowly state, because of we didn't have the military, the political power, the glory of the Bayis Rish, and the Gemara talks about the difference of the Bayis Rish and Bayis Sheni, and therefore the threat of bringing in outside elements that are not 100% was greater than under normal circumstances. In other words, it can give you a motion, like the theory here in the housing authority. The authority is that if you have only a certain percentage, when you end up having, it's not going to tip. But as it comes to a certain point, it's going to tip. In other words, when things are bad, then the chances of, in other words, the whole class is over shvah. So if you're going to bring in a dubious yerim, you're going to create an additional social problem.
So we
add to the weakness of ourselves. So there are two views that he tries to prove from the Pesukim that there were two views why they didn't want to be Mubarak then. Either they believed, Adarabba, this is the time to be Jewish, or on the other hand, the other side of the coin is that the body politic of the Jews itself is very weak, and introducing all these people would have added some kind of sociological burden. Yes?
But those people who went to
speak and avoid
the Torah would create
a
problem that
you
don't have today.
Now he goes into the next step and he's asking whether our...
Yeah. Who is the Sarab Yigal Ariel?
He is one of the Botadinim, I don't remember offhand, one of the Botadinim in the Torah. All these people who write in this journal are after Brabant, who Aloha Maisa, who deal with Rabban. Now he doesn't suggest this as a stock because he's not of that stature. He suggests that ultimately the Rabban is the Rosh, and the Gedolei Yisroel will have to make a decision on that. But he presents this as conceptually to the people who are into learning to see what the issues are. Okay? Now, he is trying to compare our situation today. Does it compare to either of these four? Does it compare to it pays to be Jewish and therefore we can't accept them? Or does it compare to we are so smart we can't afford for more weak links in our body politics? Or are there other situations today that make it different and therefore we have to approach it a little more positively than Ezra Nehemiah did in their time. Alright? Now we are on page 85. Ha'ashvor le'dareinu, the comparison to our generation. La'or ha'omba, according to what was said, ha'ashvor ha'ashtonis, said Kufasein, Kufas Ezra, yesh bo min ha'shitriyo. He said it's very superficial to straight out compare our situation today to Ezra. I mean, the Jews return, it's easy to make comparisons, but a little deeper analysis, these may seem very superficial. Alright, now, in the second line, Ein bonu gedolosu chetufa shlomo. We certainly don't have today the greatness of the period of Shlomo. I mean, it's not that great to be a Jew, no matter what, even in the land of Israel. Avol ha'olah, amrachokim ono, v'choshosta shetrufas ha'shoftim, because he brings in the trufas ha'shoftim, will omit that. V'tach neseh ha'roch nishma b'tchonim. He says there is a difference between, because he said Nehemiah compared it, the situation of the 30 turns, to an earlier period, the me'ah shoftim, when the Jews also had a little problem with the marriage. So he said, why did he compare it to the Shoftim? Because in the time of the Shoftim, we were very weak. It was a very weak period. That's why the Jews asked for Melech, because the Shoftim period, we were decentralized. The Shvotim, everybody was doing everybody did what they want, and we were politically, economically, and whatever, very, very weak. So Ezra, he says, compared it to the Bnei Shlomo, and the Chaim compared it to the Bnei Shoftim, which were very weak. So he says, we may not be Shlomo in our time, but we are not as bad as the Shoftim, because we have a stronger framework of independence, of a base, the political structure, a rabbonus that is in place. You know what I mean? He can't compare with the Shoftim with Nebuch Shmuel, the Homer, the Fall of Dan, Fidotin, and travel from Mokal and Mokal. We have today brought the Dinam all over Eretz Yisrael, and there is a hierarchy, there is a system. You cannot compare it to the days of the Shoftim. That's what he says. About this, sure, the individuals that rose and solved the problems and didn't solve the problem. Besides, it says Yadus Brisamoratov, the jury of the Soviet Union ain't a dome in the storm of the Ganon. They're not like the storm of the Ganon who were the Ezra, the leadership that was intermarried. Zur Kihilish Hoistum in the Sekers, the Sefer Doros Namitor. This was a community that was cut off from the history book of Jews. Ushukash Ene Das, Dubai Yadus, they don't know anything. And the student of Rios, their marriage to Goyim were not to the merit of Mamar. This wasn't a willful sin or a rebellion. It was a struggle. Kaman Nochem Asher Nisbuchu Aleho, even the Goyish spouses who got involved with them, shown them Amar Oret Shalos are different from the people in those days. They are clouds. They're clearly more than the Zohar. They're not always about the Zohar. I just say atheists may be like the Zohar, but they're not always about the Zohar. The Amen, and they're going, but the Evos, I'm a Canaan. They're not involved in Canaan. In what the Torah, the Kamasiyas, the Torah, the Shaptimos, the Masiyas, the Canaan, the Shemor, the Shemor, they're not that corrupt. Hanoshim on the Chiyos, the strange women, loyalty to the Rabbi Ahmad, who didn't get married to the Lehefa. The Rolf HaMikran, in sickness, as with Mamona. These Gentiles who married Jewish spouses in Russia before the collapse and before communism, endangered themselves and put themselves in an uncomfortable position because they were treated like Jews and didn't have to be. All the restrictions about the university and so on, they didn't have to undergo all this. So they took upon themselves hardship to marry Jewish spouses.
Okay, Rabbi, isn't that somewhat contradictory to the first part of the statement in that if the spouses took certain risk in marrying them, that means that the Jews who married them must have known that they were doing something wrong.
No, they don't know anything wrong. They marry, and to them, they follow Russian law, that the spouse attain the nationality of the husband she marries. That's what they know. But the spouse, the Goyish spouse, knows that the government will now treat her as Jewish. If she wouldn't have married this guy, she would have remained a straight Russian.
They'll look down on her.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm
in Russian law, if you marry a Jew, you have become like a Jew.
The woman.
That's the main issue here, because if the woman is Jewish, the children are Jewish. Yeah, it's not a problem. But the problem is only the husband. But what he's saying is that the woman who marries, so the husband, he's an amorous, he doesn't know anything, he marries a Goyish woman, she becomes Jewish to him, like Russian law. But she was not Jewish before, and now through marriage, she's Jewish. A woman who married a Goyish woman who married a Jew in Russia was like a woman with the Megalia here. Because now she will be treated as a Jew and she doesn't have to. Because by marrying a Jew, she her position becomes deteriorated in Russia. Ain Haina Mishpacha said to Shabbos Ora, El Ozbu as they some not of Allah also. Furthermore, they went there to Sorcerer and take all the hardship. I say Ain Haina Omdus Latvia is Amdusrol the Sorcerer. There was no threat that they would absorb the Jewish people and make them Oisdin. Other Abbas, they would go to a place where the majority are Jews. Not like by Ezra, they married Goyish women, and they were a very small minority in Persia. They would have been absorbed and would have assimilated. So Ezra had to make sure, don't do that, you have to divorce. Here, they're coming to Israel, where the majority are Jews. So you can't worry that the non-Jews will assimilate the Jews. It's not possible, because there are a very small minority. Adarabba, the Jews are the majority, and they are the minority. Okay? Mishumka, at first glance, ain't mokam is a chosan, I don't know exactly what it means, the terminology that we don't use in Halachic literature, that the statement of apology was to show off as evil. But he says that there is no need for a principle to push them aside, because there is really no threat of assimilation by absorbing them, because on the contrary, they are the minority and they are not going to assimilate us. Now I will omit page 86, because this is very tenuous material which he himself discards in the end. Whether there is some Jewish identity at all from a halakhic point of view of a child that is born to a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. Now he quotes some dubious position of Rabbi Ziel, which he himself says he doesn't understand his reasoning, and I don't even know why he brought this back to my in. Only the tribal identity, not Jewish identity. So he discards this. The only thing he says at the end is that it makes some sense to be a little more lenient with such children, because there is already a kesher with a Jewish father, and to some extent, based on the Russian experience, they do identify to some extent as Jews. While we don't accept them halachically as Jews, but they have some consciousness of being at least partially Jewish in their ignorant state, because they know their father is Jewish. And in Russia, the father determines the ethnic identity of the people.
I know a case right now in Poland, that the father is Jewish, she's safe in this school,
yeah,
and you have children in the pair. And it came tight over the Rayon, he lost the river and his dad, and he came there and I put a
It's a tragic in this sense.
Yeah.
It's tragic. But this is the person who obviously was a little bit knowledgeable to begin with. And he felt the gratitude. There are many such cases of going to save Jews, and gratitude was converted into love. The Abale. I know a lot of stories like that. Then he continues. Let me say again, summarize, because I don't want to spend too much time on the introduction. He says, what would happen if a whole Shevet would come, a whole tribe, a whole group, wants to die? Would we take each individual, you know what I mean, and grill him as we would an individual care?
Or treat him as a group.
So he suggests, all right, that if a group would come, we would assume a certain group awareness. And he brings the story from the Khazari, the Khazars, who were converted by the king as a group, and he says he's sure that, and they were treated as Jews, and they were real Jews, and he says he's sure that they didn't, each individual, they didn't have a vote, and unanimously they all pleased that, and he preached, and the majority wanted this, and whoever didn't want it, there is such a thing as a group desire among them. Of course, what he's trying to say is here that when these people come, there is a certain group awareness that they need geros, they have to be absorbed into Yisrael. And therefore, it's sort of, again, a very tentative idea. That's why I don't want to go into any great detail and spend too much time on
it. What did he do with the Falasha Jews?
With the Falasha, As long as possible, they need some form of Because of that, there are many opinions amongst the Rabbanim that since they didn't have Beerus Halacha, and since they didn't have the Torah Shabbat, there's a good chance that many of them may have emanated from intermarriages and what have you, and therefore are not really Jewish. Now, it's not a question whether the original Falashis were Jewish or not. That's not a question. The question is what happened over the century. What is today? That's why many of the responsible persons held that they need some minimal form of girl. Of course, they're not going to be as good for them as anybody else. To have Hatovas Dabrez and Zila. But that's a different problem altogether. Here you're dealing with a Jewish group that's deteriorated because of history.
You probably don't try to disenchant them either, generally do by Gerem.
No, not at all. Care. Nobody disagrees there that you're Makarim. There's no question about it. And Moshe is the biggest machmon that said, but you have to help me, you have to rescue them, there's no question about it, you have to work them, and there's no question about it. Because we know they are losers of history, they are unfortunate victims of historical circumstances. And the things they keep the Kerber, otherwise we would keep what we believe in as they keep what they believe in. The women have set the tents altogether. I mean, they're really a certain thing. But on the other hand, there are many things they don't have come off of.
Last year, 2 years ago, we had a discussion on the television about this, when they brought the Ethiopian Jews.
Uh-huh.
There was an actual traumatic experience for them because, number one, they thought they were the only Jews that existed. Sorry. There were no other Jews. White Jews, certainly not. Mm-hmm. They don't keep Hanukkah because they didn't know anything about it. So to them, it was really a social.
And the Poskim are very sensitive to it. I don't think they're insensitive to it.
I'm sure
but
they
on
are.
The other hand, they don't want to create problems for them in the future. It's a marriage problem. Yeah.
You see those cutoffs in history where they have meat and milk and one pass of chicken and milk.
So because it's the Rabbana, it's the Rabbana. It's the Rabbana. It's the Rabbana. It's the Rabbana.
Yeah.
מה שנוכל לגבי שבט המשפחת גר נוכל בבדה he says לבני משפחת מרוב השבי היהודי what you said before about tribe we can apply the same psychology to the children of mixed marriages רצויים בני המשפחה להיות יהודים בגלל ידות של אביהם אין השקל זו the idea that they want to be Jewish because their father is Jewish is not a strange or unrealistic assumption. These children are torn between two worlds. Kasheheim bin Hagoyim, Yadushel Abba Nebetachem. When they are amongst Goyim, they are persecuted because they are called Jews. The Choytma made Aleim, their noses testifying. In other words, they may even have biological a mark that the Goyim look upon as new Jewish. Umin Hayehudim, they were home with the Goyim. In the Goyim. If he was the Beloma Shel Aviyim, he came on Shem Shemai. I mean, he gives him a lot of credit. I mean, you know, he's a little bit unrealistic, obviously. He's very sympathetic, and extensive sympathy sometimes makes you very unrealistic. So how can you call it Shem Shemayim for people who don't believe in that? I mean, it's a little bit difficult. But what it means is, they need earnestly to be Jewish. That's what it means. The word of Shem Shemayim, I think, is an unwoven error. We use the term Shem Shemayim as error. They need an error if they want to be Jewish.
Right.
But I don't think it has to be taken literally because many of them don't have any concept about God or anything like that. So how can you say the Shem Shemayim? Dugma le dober bringt der Reihe bei der Kotten, der vierten Halloch ist bei der Kotten, where we are making under circumstances when the parent brings it. Why? Because the child wants to be what the parent is. I can omit this, but anyway, that's what he's saying. So essentially, if the father is Jewish, we have a right to be mako, because a child from an intermarriage and he wants to be Jewish, we can assume that he is sincere in his desire to be a Jew, because he identifies with a father who is Jewish. All right. All right. Now, what I want to do here today is the last part of the introduction. Again, he's still on theory, and where he gets to the nitty-gritty of the halacha is on page 90, which hopefully we'll do next week in the conclusion of this, where we'll discuss the halacha, where the crucial issue in Gaelic today, not only in Israel, but in America. And of course, as I pointed out in the beginning when we started this, the big debate that's going here between the so-called left and orthodoxy and everybody else. The question is, what role does Kabbalah's mitzvahs play in the Gaelic process? Right? And there seems to be a different opinion throughout the history of the halacha to what extent we insist and what is the scope of our insistence on Kabbalah's Hamid. Is it specific? Is it general? How many questions do we have to ask? What can be assumed? Et cetera, et cetera. Now here, he deals with another sort of halakhic philosophical concept, which really goes to the core of the question, who is a Jew? Being Jewish, from the Torah point of view, is a very complex concept. And it's not surprising that the Ummah Sa'olam don't understand it, because it's hard for ourselves to understand. I just read an article in a publication by a contemporary outstanding Jewish philosopher, an Orthodox man, Richard Rossi. He was one of the profound spokesmen for Orthodoxy in the philosophical discipline. And he talks, he himself was involved in dialogue with the Catholics, with the Rome. Of course, the Rome was against it, but he defended it. And he said one of the problems is that the only way we can ever come to a resolution with the church and the Christians is when we can hold by them theologically to officially accept the Jews as a legitimate religion. There are, and he points out, there are the maverick theologians today who are prepared to change Christian theology to that extent by saying that even though Yoshua came and he made a new revelation, but the Jews, by virtue of their original election, have a right to remain within the authority of the Old Testament. So while we are bigger and we are part of the new, but they have a right to stay where they are. And he points out that if these theologians win, that would finally legitimize us to all also. Because in the Old Testament, the Jews were promised the land of Israel. So it will no longer be a steerer to Christian theology. Right? And he says, this is what we have to work on. It's an interesting argument. He said, the problem is that the people who represent the church, all right, don't want to get involved in theological discussion, because the moment they get involved in theological discussion, they have to be very radical. They can't accept the Jews, they can't accept Israel. Because theologically, the only way they can accept Israel is the way the Satsuma look at Israel. It's a secular state. A secular state, we can deal with it. At the moment the Jewish claim religion, then Zevka has to serve. So he says, Kum Tehoi, when they talk with Jews, they only talk secular. Is there a state of Jews? That's a biblical Jewish state.
Like autonomy.
Autonomy, Jews have autonomy. Like they had autonomy as Razan, the Razan, a country, the Jews. A country, the Jews. Then they can deal with it. The moment you say this is the biblical promise, it's hashmira to their theology. Because originally their theology said the Jews will never get back because they've been eliminated. So they talk secular. Who represents the Jews in the dialogue? American Jewish Committee, and American Jewish Council, the secular people, they don't believe they've done anything. So who knows secular? They're secular. It's just a Melech, Elma, Kemenish, and Tachlis. He said it can never be resolved that way, because then it becomes a political issue. So they have to please the Arabs, they have to please, it becomes a political issue. See, the only way it can be resolved, he says, is if we can convince them that these new theologians have a point, and say, you can accept this and your religion is to check. It's in our interest to say, okay, your theology for you is all right, as long as you give us authenticity for either. Okay? It's a very interesting thesis.
Ultimately, because the more Israel thrives, and more money they pour into it, and they see that their vision is not coming through, they have to make some compromises.
But the reason I brought up this whole issue is this. There is a confusion in the Gentile mind of what we are. Now, I always say this, for instance, if you have the opening of Congress, you have a rabbi, a priest, and a minister. The three major religions in America, Catholic, Protestant, I have a little secret for you, I think they're
right.
There are more Muslims in America than Jews. Now, if you count the black Muslims and all these people, so it's an illusion. And go on, we are less than 2% of the population, one of the major religions. We should, really. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
was that Jewish?
There was nobody Jewish there, but the oath, the prayer before the...
So this is very smart, maybe you realize.
Yeah, but no Catholic either, though. But no Catholic either, he had only speaking from his own church.
Somehow, we impressed American society that we are a major factor because we are so visible, we are achieving. There was a time when there had to be a Jew on the Supreme Court. You know what I mean?
It has to go with the
right.
Whatever. The Japanese during the war thought, you know, they were good to the Jews because the Jews are so powerful in America that if anything negotiations come up, they'll be able to help them. It came out after the war, somebody wrote a book on that. So on the one hand, we are religious. You are Jewish? So the Goy will ask, what does it mean to be a Jew? Because a Jewish religion, a Catholic, Protestant, Jewish. But on the other hand, we are also an ethnic group. We are a nation. I mean, the holiday, the state of Israel, is not a religious state. It may have religious significance for those who are religious, but it's not a theocracy, it's not a religious state. It's not the Vatican, all right? It's not the Vatican. So it is a secular state. And the Jews in America fight for Israel. Any politician, he gets up to a Jewish audience and runs to Satmar, he doesn't even know who he's talking to. I'm for Israel. He doesn't know, he's killing his voice when he talks to Satmar like that. But the point is, it is what Israel is to say. The overwhelming majority of Israelis are secular Jews. All right?
Because this was the foundation which was laid in Israel from the Zionist organization by Herzl.
I'm not going into historical
origins. Therefore, they're not religious. Therefore, they're race.
Yeah, it's so good the way it is. I am not saying whether they're going to have oil or not. I'm saying that in the view of the world, they come to Israel, when the politicians are taken around, they're taken around, but they're taken around in Holland and in
Israel.
It's the same. And we identify with them, so the Jews are identified with Israel, as a Maestro, we say, Yisrael, Afa, Bishachote, Yisrael. We take all Jews who are born Jewish to us, are Jews. He can be an atheist, he cannot keep any of the mitzvahs, but we say he's Jewish. So how do you that you can't identify religiously? You can't identify somebody by religion when he doesn't have the religion at all. So there is a le'umi element in Jewish identity. Al-pi'alokha. So you have two dimensions. Now the question is, when you beguile somebody, what happens when you beguile? A non-Jew becomes a Jew. A non-Jew becomes a Jew. How does it come? Now, for instance, you have the Havdol in Christianity. If somebody converts to Christianity, it becomes a Jew. Okay? What does it mean? Before he could have been a Muslim, a Khalila, a Jew, whatever, now he's a Christian. What is he otherwise? Whatever he is. An Italian American, English American, Indian American, who's an African? The change was a religious change, period. From the Goyish point of view, if somebody changes their religion, they change religion, topic. They're no longer a Jew.
It could be an Italian, anything.
Then you have a concept of naturalization. So you come to America, you are citizen of France, England, Germany, whatever. You come here, you follow the rules, you're sworn in, you become an American. But politically, you become an American. What's the essence of the Jew? The Megali. What do? You naturalize them? You convert them into another religion? What are you doing? So he said correctly that it's quite evident that there are two dimensions in conversion. One is the religion, which is number one, without any question. He believes in the Nekei Yisrael and the Torah and everything else. But there is also an assumption of becoming a member of Klal Yisrael. The first question, he quotes the Rambam to the Gemara. The first question when a Geir comes, you say to him, why do you want to join the Jewish people? You know what Soros is after? He could answer, hey, wait a minute, he says, I'm going to suffer Soros. I'm going to convert as a Jew. I'll keep Shabbos, I'll keep Allah Zachos, drink ahead, I won't go to, I'll dump it for here. Dump it into the Abeo, and I'll hide, I'll pretend I'm not Jewish, I believe in the God of Israel. No, he won't take it. Okay? He has to be part of Klal Yisrael. That was the first step, and the Rambam continues, if he says, Eidi Kedar, I have to join them, then you start talking to religion. Okay? So he said, you see that the Le'umi dimension, the idea of being part of Klal Yisrael, is a very important dimension of this. And this is why we have this umbrella concept. They call Yisrael Aliyin, even though Afi Shechot Yisrael him, that because they are still part of this body politic. It still is difficult how to intertwine the two, but it was not. Now the question now therefore becomes, you can see the logic here. The question comes, if we can allow ourselves to let the element Le'umi become sort of a jump start for the conversion process, although we know that the religion is not there yet at this point in time. In other words, how much of each element has to be on the table in the initial stages of the conversion process? This is the question we need. Let's take a look. In Hay, he discusses briefly that what I talked out, the different attitudes in modern political and sociological theory, the differences between ethnic groups, political groups, religious groups, and so on.
How can he ask Bob? I'm the Bob's Mrs. Marcellus. I mean, it's not Marcus.
Now, what he says, and of course, he's being very liberal, and it is really the point in issue here. He brings, for instance, the bracha that you make to the Sefer Torah. Asher bracha bonu mikol ha'amim, v'dos alon sarosa. So, why don't we say, Asher bracha bonu v'dos alon sarosa? To mikol ha'amim. So you see, there is always that Am Yisrael concept that is always present, as I mentioned, in whatever we say Jewishly, we always talk about Am Yisrael. Kishem, let's look at section 2 in the head. Kishem, Kabbalah Satorah, Kolele, Kishisel Am Yisrael, just like Kabbalah Satorah must include my entry into Klal Yisrael. I'm saying the Hefer, you know, there's an interesting Mechilta, I think it is. There is a Havamin in the Mechilta that if a person is Megaya, as soon as he's Megaya, is to bring a Kol Tesla. But you learn from a prospect that's not like that. What's the picture? What does it mean? We could put some of it in the Kol Tesla. We learn from Kabbalah Satorah, by the way, you know, Gerem in the time of the Beis Hamikdash had to bring a Kol Tesla. Vila, and Kol. We learn it out from next to Tesla, from Fazi's brother. Okay? Because all the Jews were Gerem. And the Gemara derives from the various texts that they had Nila, Tzila, and Kabbalah. But Korb is obviously not Ma'akeh, because the Torah says there, the Torah Sechem, and the Torah must have known there will be generations where we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, right. It's not Ma'akeh. But the Chatzila is there to bring a Korb. This is a Korb Fakir. But then the Mechilta says the Havamina would be that a Gia, the moment is Megaya, even in the middle of the summer, or the winter, has to bring a Korb Fakir. So bring a positive note. The question was done with bring a Korb Pesach. So we see from there, what is the Korb? What happened to Pesach? Pesach was really the creation of Am Yisrael. That's what it is. Because Kabbalah is the Torah was later. Yeah. So you have the Ne'umas came before the Torah. Am Avin is Korb Pesach represents the Jewish step forward as Am Yisrael. He comes again. Or you could add Mishra to Decham Avodah Zorah, the complex of Avodah Zorah from Mitzrayim. Alright? He says, Gam Kei Lehepach HaKnisa L'Am Yisroel V'Kabbalah HaTorah Shein U'Malzein U'Umei L'Betorotel. The only thing is, of course, again, he is overly optimistic and enthusiastic. A Jew who is Mekabel the Torah, if the factor is Mekabel Am Yisrael, because Am Yisrael is part of the Torah. But if a person, the secularist, is Mekabel Am Yisrael, it doesn't mean to say that he's Mekabel the Torah Am Yisrael. Right? Because he'll turn around and say, look, this guy, you don't know from nothing. He's a Jew, he's a proud Jew, he's a Catholic. Cain was seen, but interesting, the discussion. Cain was seen, Shnei Ovo is Tipus the Gear. We find two biblical figures who are sort of models of Gerim. Avraham Rus. Avraham Avi HaGerim Korer B'Shem HaShem Keil Olam. V'Gayet HaGerim. Kumo Shizah Zoi Tzah Rambam B'Tshubo Tzah Rambam Avadya HaGerim. Like the Rambam wrote to Avadya HaGerim. Ikadosh Avraham Avinu Hu Shalem Mikal Olam. He taught everybody. V'Shkilam V'Hadiyam Dasa Emes. He taught them the two religions. V'Yakudosh HaKudosh Vofu. V'Boat Avodah Zorah. He told them about God and he denied Avodah Zorah. The Hefer Avodah also destroyed their Avodah. Yechus Ramdash Avashvina. He made many people come under the rings of God. The Limna Behorah Mitzvah Bodah and the Reza Acham and he taught his children and grandchildren. That is religious conversion. Avraham Avinu. Avor was not a people yet, not a nation. He was one individual. And he, his conversion was strictly a religious conversion. She who became the mother of Gera, and she became the mother of the Malchus, which is the based on but see, our Kibbutz Shonah seems to a different direction. She didn't become a Georalist, seemingly from the text, on the basis of ideological conviction. She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, she loved Naomi, she wanted to join Naomi with her people, and it doesn't say anywhere that she She was closely connected with, and she had Naomi as a model. She wanted to be like her. What did she say? Bashatel fi Ela, or Bashatelini Olin, Aber Abi Belakai Halakoi. So what did she start with? I want to be with you. I want to be with your people. The Naila through this, I want to be the company of God. But her main motivation was to be with Naomi and to be. In the end, he says, "Yishalom Hashem for Ola." If he must go to the name of Hashem, he says, "Os Asher Bos Alach to Tachas Shulchan." Then he says, "We should get."
obviously has a very high, noble spiritual character. You can't compare your average Russian immigrant or mixed marriage to a woman, obviously. But he's trying to build up a case that we cannot ignore the desire of national identity that on this soil, we cannot ignore it in the day of starting, we have to give it some freedom. Okay, I have to run now, but this is the next week when we're going to the Kabbalah scripture, which is really the crux of the halakhic issue. Okay, we'll complete the